Hey, welcome to another episode of the Rust Belt Rivals, brought to you by Paper House Network. I am Pittsburgh Steeler fan Nick Angelo, joined as always by Cleveland Brown fan Simon Siegel. Stat Boy Charlie is in the building. But Simon, before we get started, have you been watching WandaVision? It's fantastic. I'm not a Marvel Universe guy. I'm not a huge comic book nerd. But this show is just so entertaining in the way they mimic the styles of different TV shows. It is just really fun. So I recommend WandaVision if you don't have Disney Plus. It's worth getting because it is just a fun, fun show. Have you been watching it?
Has free agency started yet?
Simon is just counting. Now, see, this is the worst thing that could have happened to Simon, as the Browns having a good season. Is now he is just, he's on the edge of his seat. He can't wait. He's got no basketball or really baseball to look forward to. So now he's just counting down until next Brown season, which he's never done before. I can't imagine.
So Nick, this is the interesting thing. So you don't have any basketball, baseball, or football to look forward to. So what are you doing with your time?
Hey, Ron Hextall is saving the Pittsburgh Penguins. I didn't think I'd ever say that sentence, but the Pens are looking okay with the new management up front there. So Ron Hextall, thank you very much. He's saving the Pens. But you know what? This is a football podcast. Let's get into it. It is the off season, so you know we're having a little bit of fun here. There's not a lot to talk about. It is probably the worst time of year, the end of February. We're getting into free agency, which will start in a couple weeks. So what we want to do is talk about some quarterback situations that we are looking forward to heading in to free agency. But speaking of a free agent quarterback, did you see Cam Newton? Did you see your boy? Did you see your boy getting ribbed by a punk kid?
Yeah, I mean, there's a punk kid running his mouth at a 7-on-10 that Cam's gracing his presence. Like, please, like, that kid needed to shut the hell up. Like, I had no business with, I have no issue with Cam talking back to a kid running his mouth like that.
For those who know this show, know that I have a special place in my heart for Cam Newton. I think he's very talented when he's full health. I don't really like his attitude. So many of you may be surprised at the fact that I wish he would have said some more shit to the kid. Watching Cam handle that whole situation, I think I'm back on the Cam Newton train. And I say back because I used to really like Cam Newton. And it was that play in the Super Bowl. And then it just kind of got, I was like, oh, I don't think I like this guy. But now I'm kind of turning again. And I kind of like the fact that he first off, he handled it professionally. Like after he's like, what'd you say, kid? And then it was like, you know what? I gotta talk to your parents. But well, that was just although- that. I loved it. I loved Cam. I wish he would have said more. I wish he'd be like, yeah, I am rich. Why don't you get the hell out of here?
Well, somebody pointed out on Twitter that if it had been Jordan, he would have been like, lace him up. Let's go right now. First one to 11. Like that would have been like Jordan would have gone in had it been Jordan.
I don't think Jordan would have been at the camp because, you know, yeah. And then what
Jordan would have been at the camp and Jordan would have embarrassed the child. Like that's what Jordan would have made this child wet himself on the court. Like
that would have been absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I'm if anyone thought I was going to be come at Cam with this, no, I think he handled it perfectly. I kind of wish he would have, you know, smacked back a little bit. You know what it reminded me of? You know what that punk kid reminded me of? Look, listen, he's a kid. He makes mistakes. It's unfortunate that now everything we do has to be filmed. And it's like, yeah, he's a dumb little kid. You know the shit I did when I was 16 years old? You know the shit I did last week? You know, like, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. So that punk little kid, but guess what? That's a learning lesson. And but the punk little kid, you know who he reminded me of?
Who?
Chase Claypool. That's the Chase Claypool. That is what we're dealing with, folks. That kid is growing up to be Chase Claypool, and I cannot wait. I'm reminding everyone that Steeler Nation will turn their backs on Mapletron, and I'm saying this season, but that's for another topic.
Well, let's stick with Cam here. Like, what what happens with Cam? Where does Cam wind up? Like, he came out and said, like, he believes that there are not 32 quarterbacks that are better than him. I am inclined to agree. I think that Cam is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. So I think he should be starting somewhere next season. Where does Cam wind up? And, I think that the stat boy Charlie is throwing it to me, but I agree here that Chicago seems to be the place that seems to have a vacancy where Cam would fit. And he's not going to sign a multi-year deal. This is going to be a one-year deal probably, but like Chicago is the only place, is the most likely place to me at least. Like, what do you think here?
I think his best, well, first off, I think what's going to happen with Cam is the same thing that happened to him last year. I think everything else is going to shake out and then he's going to go to the best fit. Cam Newton did not look pre-COVID. He looked like he was about to have an MVP year. Post-COVID, he struggled, and the idea that the Patriots have absolutely no offensive weapons really hampered that team and his productivity. I mean, he got benched towards the end of the year, so he's not riding into this offseason on a high note. However, I think Cam Newton still has the ability to be a pretty productive quarterback if he has weapons, and the team that has weapons, Washington. I think if Cam Newton... Ron Rivera, Cam Newton. Was that a bad breakup? I didn't really hear much that they didn't get along. I just think they parted ways.
It's a pretty good take.
And, you know, he goes to Washington, reunites with Ron Rivera. They have one of the best wide receivers in McLaren out there. They have some young wide receivers out there. They have a really good running back in Antonio Gibson. They have a phenomenal defense where he can just kind of manage the game. And now Washington can draft a young quarterback and develop him and not ask him to come in and save the franchise like they did with Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, you don't think Taylor Heinicke is the answer?
No. He's earned himself a roster spot. Tyler Heinicke earned himself a roster spot. And you know what? Maybe he goes out and wins the job. I think Cam comes in to compete. I don't think Cam comes in. I don't think he goes anywhere with the keys to the car. I think he has to win.
Oh yeah,
starting position.
Yeah, I don't think that he has to win. Well, yes, I do think he has to win a starting position. I think he'll go someplace that he is going in with competition, but I don't see him signing anywhere as a backup.
Yeah, I don't see him. Like, I don't see him going to Jacksonville to compete with Trevor Lawrence. I don't see him going to New Orleans to compete with Hill and Winston. I see him going somewhere that needs a quarterback, but
New Orleans would be fun. I want New Orleans. I want Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, and give me Hard Knocks. I want all access into that shit. Like, that's now what I'm rooting for.
Do you realize that there is a world if he, let's pretend, let's live in that fantasy for a second that Cam Newton goes to New Orleans. All three of those guys could line up on the field at the same time. Could you imagine that offense? Could you imagine like a split offense with Winston and Cam Newton in the backfield and then Taysom Hill split out in like in the slot? Think about that. Like,
sure. It's
craziest wildcat of all time.
It's a great idea, but you also need a coach that knows how to call plays that like are execute. Like, I think it's a great idea on paper, but to execute that effectively is a pipe dream. But now it is what I'm rooting for. I want that trio on Hard Knocks next season. Please, someone make that happen.
Well, Cam Jordan in New Orleans is also a really nice dresser. So we can have the Cam closet show because them two are very, very, very spiffy dressers. So now I'm actually, yeah, you know what? Let's make this happen. Camden N.O. Let's make that happen.
Remember when the Browns drafted Jordan Cameron or trying to draft Cameron Jordan? Remember that?
I still get those confused. That was a great gag in the league. But let's move on. Another quarterback got traded, Carson Wentz. Speaking of Chicago, I heard a lot of rumors that he was going to Chicago. In fact, I thought it was a done deal, but that's what happens when you just get your news off Twitter. He got traded to the Colts, who are replacing the quasi Hall of Famer Philip Rivers. What do you think about this trade? X's and O's, and then we'll get into the back end financial aspects of it. But what do you think on a talent level, X's and O's, Simon? How do you like this trade, Carson Wentz to the Colts?
I think that both teams lost. How do you say it? Let's start with Philadelphia and what they gave up to the Browns to trade up and get Carson Wentz. And they got a great season. They got a bunch of injuries. Arguably, they don't get to the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz, but also they didn't win the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz. And now they trade him for two picks, a third and a second, and the second has a possibility of becoming a first, I think. I think he has to play like 75% of snaps. Like, is that what it is? Or no, I think it's only a second. I think it's a terrible deal for Philadelphia in terms of what they gave up to get him and how they handled the whole situation. But then the Colts, did you watch Carson Wentz last season? You're going to tie your stakes to him for this year and possibly give up draft picks. I think both of these teams, I think the Colts are spinning their wheels and the Eagles didn't get enough back for how much they spent to get Wentz in the first place. That's why I call it a lose-lose. I'll say this. I get it. He's getting to reunite with Frank Reich and maybe that's it. Maybe that'll reawaken it, but watching Carson Wentz last year, hearing the stories about him being a leader in the locker room, and last note, Michael Pittman not giving up number 11 to him.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. He doesn't deserve to demand his number.
Yeah, so congratulations, Michael Pittman. Now Carson Wentz will overthrow the ball to you. I don't know if I want to call it lose-lose, but it definitely – I don't think anybody won. The Eagles, they had.
Wait. So if it's not, a win-win, it's a push.
It's a push. The Eagles obviously
a push
obviously wanted to get rid of Wentz.
You had to,
but you had to.
Wentz is never staying.
But they also got rid of their coach too. So there was a chance of reconciliation there, but. I guess you're going all in on Jalen Hurts, which...
No, they're not going all in on Jalen Hurts. I expect the Eagles to bring in competition, and
whether that's a Cam Newton. But, I mean, I think the reason why that they traded him away is they were comfortable with the fact that Jalen Hurts can be their guy. Now, I mean, the Eagles need help. Their wide receivers were terrible last year.
So I think that's an overreaction. I think that's an overreaction here. I don't think that trading away Wentz is a vote of confidence in Jalen Hurts. I think trading away Wentz was an acknowledgement of their whole relationship was done. Like, Wentz hadn't talked to the head coach for months.
They got rid of him. They got rid of the coach.
Yeah, they got rid of the coach, but I'm sorry, if you were a quarterback, if you were a starting quarterback in the NFL, you don't get ostracized and get benched from your, you own the locker room more. And it doesn't sound like he owned the locker room in Philadelphia.
I think it's, why can't it be both? Why can't it be like, hey, we're done with Wentz because we don't like him or we're just done with him. And the fact that they traded him away. They were going to regardless. So I guess it doesn't mean they are in on Jalen Hurts, but I think that helps. I think the fact that the Jalen Hurts, I thought he performed pretty well last year. I don't think they're drafting a quarterback in the first round unless something falls to them, right?
No, I mean, not the first round. And you, again, and it might not be drafting a first round quarterback. Maybe it's bringing in a Cam or a Ryan Fitzpatrick, what have you, but I do think that they will get other competition in. Maybe it's another quarterback from the state of Philadelphia, from Pennsylvania. Who knows? Who knows what happens?
Well, I mean, I think that's – we'll get to that. But so on the other end of this – on this trade is Carson Wentz goes to Indianapolis. I don't think that the reunion with Frank Reich is gonna help. I think. I mean, Carson Wentz is. Can it get any worse? You know, like, are they bringing him in to ask him to be the starter? You know, what's Jacoby Brissett's? Is Brissett gonna be around? Probably not, right?
They're asking him to come in and be the starter.
I mean, the Philip Rivers experiment is over. He retired. Did the Colts not know that was coming? So now they're gonna bring in Wentz as a bridge to the next step. I don't know what they're thinking, but the Colts are in a better position than the Eagles are. That's for sure. They have a lot more talent, a better defense for God sure. And they are going to lose T.Y. Hilton. Now you bring in Carson Wentz, reunite him with his former coach and get some young talent at wide receiver with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield and a pretty good defense. Now, next thing you know, Carson Wentz might be serviceable.
Sell.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I believe that. I'm not buying it myself. But at least if you're a Colts fan, you have to at least be, hey, we had a quarterback. He retired. At least we're not starting from scratch. Now, you're not starting with much, but at least it's not some rookie quarterback that you have no idea. But then again, you got to – or do you go out and get somebody? I don't know. You traded for Carson Wentz. But here's the big question here, and it's going to kind of bleed into the next topic. The Eagles are eating over $30 million from that contract, okay? That is why I think the Eagles lost this trade if we're going to go win or lose. They're eating $30 million. That contract that they signed Carson Wentz didn't make any sense when they gave him the extension. He didn't earn that. He didn't deserve it. What did he do to get that? They just did it. Same thing happened with the Rams. They're eating over $20 million on the contract with Jared Goff. Awful contract. Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco probably ain't going to be there next year from everything I hear. Awful contract. Kirk Cousins has not lived up to the contract that he signed in Minnesota. What has this trend? Do you think this is a trend that is going to cause other quarterbacks in the league to not get their money? Especially someone like Dak, who has now the injury, Deshaun Watson, who just is unhappy, and then your boy in Cleveland, our boy out in Baltimore, because they're due for an extension. We'll get to Baker in a minute. But do you think that this trend of quarterbacks signing these monster contracts, then the teams now being like, no, that was a bad idea. We'll just eat this money just to get rid of this guy. Do you think that's going to start affecting some free agent signings?
No, absolutely not. So here's the thing. Quarterbacks are always going to get paid. It's the most important position on the field. Quarterbacks are always going to get paid. And just because some teams make bad, horrendous deals with quarterbacks doesn't mean that other quarterbacks aren't going to get paid. Because here's the thing. With it being the most important position on the field, the second you decide, I'm not going to pay him because I don't think I can deserve it, that's when that quarterback goes to another team because someone else will pay for it. Quarterback, it's too hard. You don't see good quarterbacks moving to other teams. If a quarterback is good enough to be considered for an extension, it's not going to have, and yes, Statboy Charlie is raising his hand in offense because Tom Brady moved to Tampa Bay. I think we can all agree here, Statboy Charlie, that that's a unique situation. Typically, you don't have the GOAT just relocating himself at the end of his career.
Four more years.
Yikes. Yeah, I agree with Simon. That's definitely not the norm. But you did say something. You don't just see good quarterbacks moving around. Well, that's a debate that we can have, that what is a good quarterback? Because I guess there's not that many in the league. I don't know. Matt Stafford's pretty good. I'm derailing because I just thought of something different. Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl, no longer with that team. Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl. Probably not going to be with that team, or they're at least shopping around. there is no longevity at the position. It's like, what have you done for me lately? And literally it's like, well, we went to the Super Bowl. Is that not good enough? Hey, I mean, is it an impatience thing? Is that why Jerry Jones doesn't want to give Dak the money? Because it's like, well, you've never won anything. So it's like, what is it? Like Deshaun Watson's just straight up unhappy, so that's a little different.
But I think that you're also painting it. You're painting is a very different picture than I think it actually really. I don't think that the quarterback doesn't have to be the first piece. The quarterback can be the last piece. For example, Brad Johnson, Super Bowl winning quarterback. I don't think anyone would say that Super Bowl winning team was built around Brad Johnson. Jimmy Garoppolo was not the quarterback that they built around. They built a great team and they had a lot of aspects, and Garoppolo kind of fit in and served, but that's why I think he's kind of interchangeable. I think every situation is fluid. So I don't think it's just an easy, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just an easy,
yeah,
the quarterback has to be there first.
Yeah, there's no black or white answer to that. Every team is different. Every situation is unique. And you're right. That's who knows. But I guess my ultimate point was, what makes a good, like, how many good quarterbacks are there? I can think of a handful now. There's, you know.
Whoa, wait. But good is not like we speak in words like elite and, you know, franchise. Good is such a subject, like, the good is good means the 16 best in the league, so they're the better half. Like, what do you mean by good?
I guess that's the question I'm asking. Where is that? What's Matt Stafford? What's Jared Goff? What's Carson Wentz when healthy? We'll give him that credit. What's a Philip Rivers last year?
You know, what's Deshaun Watson on a 4-12 team?
What's Baker Mayfield? You know, what are these? Are these good quarterbacks? I would say yes. I don't think they're bad. Maybe
not all of them. And no, you can't just say Carson Wentz when healthy. Like, give him that. Like, you don't like that's how we get back to this conversation about black quarterbacks not getting any credit, because Carson Wentz gets a pass where he gets to be good because even when he's healthy and like he's good. Like, that's just such a fucking free, like, blank check. Fuck Carson Wentz.
I just hate Carson Wentz so much. Your inability to not hate Carson Wentz is clouding your judgment on just everything. Let's remove Carson Wentz from the situation. Is Kirk Cousins a good quarterback?
Yes. If we're just talking about good, if we're just talking about, like, because the way you're depicting it, it means serviceable. Like that, like, what do you mean? Good starting playoff caliber? Like, you need to be more specific by what you mean by good.
Is Kirk Cousins the guy that you want leading your team? Can you win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback?
Sure.
Yes, you could.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as your quarterback?
Yes, you could.
Well, they didn't. And that's why he's probably moving. That's the point I'm trying to make, is where is this line being drawn, and why are you giving out so much money to these guys that you are legitimately going to just toss away and then have to eat that money?
Because
they're getting strapped with that money. The Rams are strapped with that money because they were awful, awful signings to quarterbacks who at the time of the contract signing were good, serviceable. We could probably win with this guy. And I don't think that's the case. And I think that is more likely with a lot of quarterbacks in the league. And I think the owners aren't going to show them the money. I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to get the payday that he deserves. I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to get the payday that he deserves because of what has been going on in the league.
So I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think that you're lumping in this idea of quarterbacks being paid if they're good or bad with the concept that, guess what, some front offices are good and some front offices are bad. Some spend money on the wrong players. So I think that, again, it's a two-way street here. And so like we're gonna get into this at some point. Like, but Baker, like, I trust that the Browns are gonna work on an extension for Baker.
Well, let's put a pin in that one because we're gonna get to that. Let's move from the quarterback position to the position of harassing the quarterback. And J.J. Watt has asked for his release from the Houston Texans. They are granting that, so he will be a free agent. A lot of speculation on where the eldest Watt brother will end up. Both of our teams, the Browns and the Steelers, respectively, are in that conversation, as are Charlie's Tampa Bay Bucks, and I think the front runner, the Green Bay Packers. What is your thoughts, Simon? Where do you think he's going, and what are the chances that the Browns actually pull it off?
I mean, so if you're talking about the best situation for him to wind up in, it's Cleveland. Like, that's Cleveland makes the most sense in the terms of the amount of salary cap they have available and the position he'd be in, because he'd come into a place where he's not going to be double teamed because he has Myles Garrett operating on the other end. J.J. Watt isn't what he is. The thing is, though, that the Browns front office, we're not going to spend more than $10 million a year plus incentives on J.J. Watt. He doesn't command more than that. So where do I think he winds up? Certainly not in Pittsburgh, who have absolutely no cap room. So I think he winds up in Buffalo for $12 million a year, and he gets underused, and I think he's kind of disappointing next season. That's my call on it.
Buffalo, huh?
Wow. Yeah, I think Buffalo will spend the money, and I don't think it's the greatest fit, which is kind of okay for me because I'd rather have them spend that money there than elsewhere. But I think the best situation is in Cleveland. It's a playoff team that has enough money to pay him reasonably, and he won't get double teamed.
Yeah. Well, look, I think Green Bay is where he's going. He wants to win a chip. I think his relationship with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I don't know if they're like buddies, but I'm saying they know each other well, and that Green Bay has been on the cusp the last couple of years. They need help on defense. They have a little bit of money to spend. However,
Pause. What insider info do you have on Aaron Rodgers and J.J. Watt?
I don't know if they're buddies, but they know each other well. Yeah, they've been in the league together. They've been the faces of their franchises and of the league for the last 10 years. They know each other. I'm sure they have each other's phone numbers. I bet he can tweet them every once in a while. But my point is, I think Green Bay is a logical fit because he wants to win. Now, there is no shocking news here that both of his brothers are in Pittsburgh, and he has said that is the dream. Does he want to play for free? Because he's going to have to play for free. And even if he does play for free, the Steelers still can't afford to pay Bud Dupree. So there's that. He won't get double teamed in Pittsburgh. That's for goddamn sure. If he joins that defense, that is a nice, nice, juicy fit for him if he wants to win as well. He gets to play with his brothers. Unfortunately, that means I guess we have to keep Derek Watt. Which
also you'd also have to play for free because you have no money to spend.
That's literally what I'm saying, is he would have to play for free, and we'd still wouldn't be able to pay Bud Dupree. But I don't know. That is up. Look, maybe he wants. Look, he made a lot of money. He's got a lot of money post his NFL career. Maybe he wants to come to Pittsburgh and play with his brothers. Do I think that's going to happen? No. Do I hope it happens? Sure. But if you're a Steelers fan and you're like hoping and praying, I would rather see him go. Like the top scenarios for me and J.J. Watt, I would rather see him go anywhere else besides Cleveland than Pittsburgh. Like, if I can guarantee that he's not going to go to Cleveland, but by doing that, he doesn't go to Pittsburgh, I'm okay with that. I don't want to see him go to Cleveland. Although that would be fun. I'm sure that's fun for the league and terrible for his family. You know, I'm sure Subway would love it as well, but I don't want to see him go to Cleveland. I don't want to see that at all.
Actually, you know what? Now that you bring it up, Subway has an active interest in this. I've been following JJ Watt's Twitter feed, but I should really be following Subway's. I feel like Subway might have the inside track the free agent info.
I have been, you know what? That's not a bad point. I've been saying all year that if either Derek Watt or TJ Watt score a touchdown during a Steelers game, that everybody at Heinz Field should get a free 6-inch sub. But, you know, I'm a marketing whiz and no one ever listens to me, so what do I know?
Yeah, but it's not cost-effective because you'd have to put French fries on each one. Too expensive.
Yeah, Pittsburghers don't eat Subway because they don't put slaw and fries on it. That's a good point too, Simon. But let's keep talking about Pittsburgh and Cleveland and our quarterback situations. Big news coming out of Pittsburgh today as we record this on Wednesday that nothing's official, of course, but Ben will be back next year. How do I feel about that?
Sorry, guys. I know this is a podcast. You can't see, but I am dropping confetti and balloons behind me right now as we speak. Just want you to paint the picture. Continue, Nick.
Well, then let me wait until I go off of my little tangent, because to be honest with you, I'm still not sure how I feel about that. Over in Cleveland, we're talking extension. We literally brought up that word, extension, with Baker Mayfield not too long ago on this episode, yet 3 months ago, people are saying trade him, bench him, release him. He's garbage. He's a bum. What happened?
Guess what? Not this guy. I wasn't saying trade him. I wasn't saying bench him. I was saying see what you got. See what you have with a competent coach. And guess what? Baker's shown us exactly what he's shown us in his rookie season. And what he's done his entire career, the kid just wins. The Browns are going to pick up his fifth-year option, and they're going to extend him. I do think that they're going to try and extend him to an intelligent, safe contract. And, you know, we've spent a lot of this episode talking about quarterback contracts and if they're overpaid. And I think it is about how you structure them. I do think that we're going to be intelligent and try to sign him to an extension that is team friendly. Obviously, that's what every team does. But I have a lot of faith in the way that our front office so far has operated with Andrew Berry now as our GM. I feel like they're going to go about it the right way. Now, it's also a two-way street. It means that Baker has to play ball, but I also think that he sees the value in playing ball and that we are building a winning team right now. In the end, I think that Baker gets signed to extension this offseason. I think he'll get paid well. I think that he deserves to be paid well based on how he performed in this offense this last season. But I would not be surprised, and I'll call this now, we can put a pin in it, but I think we draft a quarterback still this year, like later rounds. I think that one of the common things for Paul DePodesta is to always invest in a quarterback. So I think that you'll see that. And I think people will read into it that, like, oh God, like they're already trying to move on from Baker. But I think there will be a constant like look to bring in young talent to put behind him at an earlier round than you might expect with a quarterback you're extending.
Well, here's my take on the Baker part. And despite what Stat Boy Charlie said earlier, I'm not Stephen A. Smith, so I can't just speculate that I know the guy and I know how he's going to be. But from what I've seen, everything that he's presented, one of the main reasons why he's so likable, even by me as a Steelers fan, is that he seems like the type of guy that's not going to demand the highest paid money. He's not going to want to be the highest paid. Now, do I know that? Of course not. I don't know the man. But he doesn't seem like that guy. He seems like he wants to win. And if he has to take the middle of the road contract to make sure that everyone else is getting fed, I think Baker Mayfield is the type of quarterback that would do that. Once again, I don't know the guy, but maybe that's even detrimental to his own well-being. But he seems like the type of guy that will take a pretty decent contract.
I disagree with you there to a degree, and that's, I think that if Baker could go out there and make the case that he's the best quarterback and deserves to make the top money, then he would. But I think he's realistic enough to know, hey, I know what I've presented and where I'm at. I know what I'm worth, and I know what we can do. And I think that there's kind of an end game to that. He's smart. He's clever. He's aggressive. And I'm excited because I'm not nervous about this future negotiation. Like I could imagine like a quarterback who you'd be like, oh God, like this is someone who's definitely going to leave. We're going to hamstring us. I feel good. I do agree. I think there's going to be a two-way street and there's going to be a negotiation about it where I feel like he will be willing to invest in setting us up into a good position for the future.
The way to put a little bow on this, the Baker situation, I think that unfortunately for me, that the Browns are sitting in one of the better positions around the league with their future and their quarterback. Contractually and talent-wise, age, youth, just all encompassing, the Browns are probably in one of the best positions with one of the better guys to have. With that being said, now let's move over to Pittsburgh.
Yes, let's.
Do you want to say anything before I may spin my wheels to death here? Do you got anything? Ben Roethlisberger said today, his agent said that they are going to be back in Pittsburgh and that the Steelers want him back in Pittsburgh for the 2021 season. And that they are going to, quote unquote, get creative with the contract. Which brings us to that point that we were talking about earlier. We may talk about all these contracts and this and that and who's getting overpaid, but none of it, who knows? It's a fucking, the loophole of signing bonuses is such, it's like when I used to go to econ class in college at 8 a.m. and I'd be sitting there like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's NFL contracts to me. I have no idea. I have no idea how NFL contracts work. So all this money, the $40 million that Ben Roethlisberger is owed, somehow can magically just kind of get swept under the rug and then we can go and do whatever we want. If that's the case, I'm for it. But I want to hear what you have to say before I keep spinning my wheels.
Well, yeah. So yes, in theory, you can bring Ben Roethlisberger back and make the money work and make it all disappear. But you do what you've done every other year, which is kick the can down the road. And that just means that next year will be the shit year. I'm of the opinion that, listen, I'm kind of a Jekyll and Hyde here. But I don't know who's the Browns fan in Jekyll and Hyde. I really don't know.
Which one of the Jekyll and Hyde was the scumbag?
Well, I don't know. Well, Jekyll is the one who wins. And since we won more than the Steelers in the end last year, I'll go with Jekyll is the Browns and Hyde is this. So the Jekyll and Hyde is.
We still run the North, by the way, but go ahead.
Sure. Did you see Juju's hair? Did you see Juju's hair? We sent that boy into a midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's San Diego blue. It's powdered blue. Hope he has fun out there in Los Angeles. So anyway,
listen.
What's your point on what's your take on Ben?
My take on Ben is this: you need to rip the Band-Aid off now and get it done with this year, and just release Ben. I mean, the best thing is to trade it. Like the best thing would be like you don't want him to. You find some other team to take him, and that's the best case scenario. You need to get rid of him, and you need to rip it off. Now, what you're going to do, which is bring Ben back and kick the can down the road when you need to spend money on extensions for Watt and Fitz and Minka, like, by all means, fuck yourselves for the future. I'm on board. I want to see Ben in the backfield next season.
Well, listen, so here, and so to your point, because you make some points, but there is no. First off, you can't trade. You're not trading them. No one's going to take that money. And for a 1 year, what team needs a aging quarterback who just came off of arm surgery 2 years ago with all that money for 1 year? No one's taking that. No one's trading for Ben Roethlisberger. Two, you say rip the Band-Aid off as if we have this young stud in waiting that once we get rid of Ben because we owe him another year to give it a shot. Mason Rudolph, maybe. He's a question mark. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm not saying he can do it. But there's no ripping the Band-Aid off like, okay, it's time to move on. We got this kid waiting to go. We're going with him. We don't have that kid. So him coming back for one more year gives us the best chance to win a Super Bowl this year.
What?
Ben Roethlisberger starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021 gives you just a crazy amount of chance, better chance to win a Super Bowl than a non-Ben Roethlisberger Mason Rudolph. That's not debatable.
Yes, you're
but it's only for 1 year. I'm saying it's just for 1 year. You go. This is it. The window closes.
But that's my point. And hold on, I think, Nick, you're missing this, though. My point is that it's a better way to win a Super Bowl this year, I guess, is Ben Roethlisberger, but certainly not for 2022 and your future. So my thing is, listen, like, only take the $19 million cap hit by releasing him. Get rid of it, cut ties, take the shit year this next year, and then rebuild instead of pushing that into 2022, because you're not winning a Super Bowl with Ben Roethlisberger next year. Like, that's the laughable thing to me. He is not a Super Bowl winning quarterback anymore. Period.
I don't know why that's such a certainty.
The guy started
the season 11-0.
You think there's a shot then?
He led the Steelers to the division. The last game he played against the Browns in that loss, he threw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Without a head coach and their starting cornerback, left guard.
I'm just saying the fact that we couldn't run the ball. We have to address the running game and the offensive line. That's what we have to address. Ben Roethlisberger coming back next year gives us a better shot to win a Super Bowl in 2021 than any other scenario. Now, I understand that.
Wait. If you're bringing back Ben Roethlisberger next season, where is the money to rebuild the offensive line? I assume you're gonna draft a running back in the first round, Najee Harris. That's what you're gonna do in round one. Gross.
No, I hope not. In fact, I can't wait to talk draft. There's a couple guys this draft is gonna be. There's so many good draft prospects, but you know what? Teaser for when we get into our draft coverage in the off season. But here is the thing, and this is what I was kind of preferencing this whole episode around. What the fuck does get creative with the contract mean? What are they going to, like, a cut and resign? Are they going to release him and then resign him on a 1 year deal for way less, the league minimum? Are they going to restructure it for a weird signing bonus? Is there a retirement fee that we can pay into? I have no idea. And I don't think a lot of people do. What does that mean? What does get creative mean? Because let's pretend, and this is where I spin my wheels and how I don't know how I actually feel about it. Let's pretend we owe him that money, that if he plays in 2021, which I still think if he plays in 2021, we're a contender. Am I a favorite? No, but a contender. But then we have to pay him that money? Yes. The future is bleak. It already is bleak. So what does get creative with the contract mean? I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I did. I wish I paid attention in econ class back in college. I have no idea what that means. But if we end up having to pay him all this money that we have restructured after contract extension after contract extension, and we have to pay him that money, Steelers are fucked. We're fucked. So maybe we do just release him. I agree with you on that. That's the big point. That's the deal that I can't keep coming back and forth. I think if Ben Roethlisberger money can go somewhere else underneath the rug and in a signing bonus or stuff, great. Have him come back for 1 year.
It doesn't disappear. That's the thing. It comes back and it'll come back in the next season. And like, that's the only way to make it work. You can't pay him that next season and sign anybody to make that team work. So you need to sign them to an extension and then void years. But that money still comes into play down the line and takes a hit down the line when you need to extend to other players. Listen, it's not Ben's fault that they've renegotiated contracts like this. You guys have just restructured and pushed money down the line, and that's how it works. And no, do I know, understand the ins and outs of it? No, but I know that they delay the payment until the last possible fucking day. So guess what? We're at the last possible fucking day.
It's time to pay the piper. And unfortunately, the NFL doesn't have any kind of Bobby Bonilla insurance where you can just pay a guy for the next 70 years a million every July 1st. That's just not a thing in the NFL. I think the best case scenario, for this is we just release him outright and then resign him, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, release him. Maybe he retires officially, then clears waivers. I don't know how that all works, but the math doesn't add up. So
it seems like you want to commit some kind of NFL fraud.
Yeah, like that's absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We've already did insider trading with Subway. So what else is, let's just keep it rolling. Let's keep the white collar crimes moving. My point is, I agree with the fact that the Steelers' future gets mortgaged and we're fucked if Ben comes back next year, because some way, I don't know, creative means, but somehow we're in trouble. However, if he does, we better fucking win the Super Bowl. Because that's it, right? There's nothing else. We can't go 11-0 and then 1-5 to end the season and lose to the Browns at home in the playoffs on next year, because then it's just like,
happens 2 years in a row.
No, next year I'm feeling more of an 0-11 start and then a 5-1 finish, just to save Tomlin's job. No, it'll be the interim coach at the end. We'll put that in an envelope.
Yeah, Ben comes back. He doesn't have it anymore. Then all of a sudden, Dwayne Haskins comes in, and then it's just a nightmare. Tom has got COVID, by the way, so I hope he's feeling better, because I know he listens to the show. Big fan of him. I don't know, man. It's a tough situation. I guess we have to see what get creative, quote unquote, get creative with the contract. We got to find out what that actually means. What kind of loophole that the Rooneys have created, I don't know. But if we got to pay any of this money, then the future is bleak. And we better fucking win the Super Bowl next year. That's all I got to say. That's all we got. I mean, that's literally all we got. Because then the J.J. Watts, the Minka Fitzpatrick's, or the T.J. Watts, I'm sorry, Minkas, they don't get the extension that they deserve. Bud Dupree is going to go. There's no way Juju Smith-Schuster comes back next year. I think Mike Hilton is an absolute signing that we have to have this coming off season. Villanueva's gone. Like, we have a big draft ahead of us too. So I don't know, man. There's just too many questions. It sucks. It's a position where and I said this earlier, the Browns and Baker are in a very, very enviable position when it comes to their quarterback and the future. Whereas now you look at the old guard in Pittsburgh and it is a nightmare. And then right between us is Statboy Charlie, you sent something to me and I can't quite remember, but you sent something to me where someone was like, oh, Tampa Bay's won 2 Super Bowls in the last 20 years, but they get no respect as like a franchise. But like, what about the 18 losing seasons in between and the fact they had to get the GOAT to come in to save the day? That tweet was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Oh, they won 2. That's like saying the Marlins are a great baseball franchise because they've won a couple World Series. That's just,
They have double they have double the amount of Super Bowls as the entire NFC South right now. The Bucs have 2.
Yeah, but the Saints have 1.
Saints have 1.
The Panthers been there twice.
But they haven't won.
The Falcons, yeah, but they've all been there recently, which is like, yeah, well, whatever. Okay, great. Yeah, you have 2. So what? 18 years, it's a sandwich, a loser sandwich. You know, when your bread is the Super
Bowl. How many of the Steelers won over the last 18 years?
Well, I'm just asking. Listen, listen, when this is how a sandwich works. You have a piece of bread, then you have your meat, then you have a piece of bread. And whatever that meat is the title of that sandwich. So if it's bread, bologna, bread, it's a bologna sandwich. So if you have a Super Bowl, 18 years of losing in a Super Bowl, that's a losing sandwich. Okay, so let's get out of here with
So we both have bread, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and I have all the bread, and that's why we're so fat, because now it's a keto world, and now we're fat with debt. Simon has left. Simon has left the building. Simon, are you still with us?
I'm just.
It's, you know what's the worst thing? The worst scenario is, as a Steelers fan, I'm sitting here with a Browns fan and a Bucks fan. One of your teams just won the goddamn thing, and the other one's probably going to win another one. And I'm looking at what you guys used to look at. You think I'm going to take this laying down? Go fuck yourselves. This has been the Rust Belt Rivals, brought to you by Paper House Network. We're going to be here all off season. I'm going to go calm down for a second. Simon, you got anything before we leave?
No, I just hope you guys really bring back Ben this year.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back. We'll be back soon with some more offseason. We are going to get deep into the draft this year and obviously take care of all the crazy free agencies. Thanks for listening. Rust Belt Rivals, Paper House Network. Make sure you're checking out all the other awesome shows on Paper House Network, including The Commissioner of Comedy with James Mattern. And make sure you are going to SilkCityHotSauce.com. Use the code RIVALS. You'll get 15% off your entire order. That's SilkCityHotSauce.com. Use the code RIVALS, RIVALS, 15% off your entire order. That was a show, fellas. All right, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.